charitable donations fluctuate somewhat with the economy and what people feel they can give. But roughly two-thirds of American households do contribute money or time or both to charity. The top recipients are religious groups, educational institutions, and human service providers. How much to give and where was a question facing Christopher Ellinger, a college student back in 1980 at age 24. He inherited $250,000 from his grandfather, with the promise of an additional $300,000 upon his grandfather's death.
It was clear that that amount of money could not only do something to help us, but could do a lot to help other people. So we decided early on that we were going to give a chunk of that away. And I knew nothing about philanthropy, so I started going to conferences.
Christopher and his wife Anne decided to proceed cautiously with their windfall. They lived then in a low-income neighborhood of West Philadelphia and were sensitive to the human need they saw around them, so they began making connections with other donors.
There was this huge world of philanthropy that was very exciting, where there were people who were really putting their money where their hearts were.
I think it was about 5 years that you promised yourself, okay, I'm not going to make any major decisions for 5 years. I'm going to just really, really think about how can I be responsible with this money and really make the best use of it for our lives and the wider world. Part of that was this project of interviewing 50 people about, did you regret giving so much?
There were some people who said, oh, yeah, we have some important lessons of how we would do this differently. Like we would take more time and be more thoughtful and get more people involved in the process. But not a single person said they regretted giving away as much money as they did and being as bold as they were.
The findings from the interviews with charity givers were ultimately published in an award-winning 1993 book entitled We Gave Away a Fortune. It profiled donors who decided to contribute at least 20% of their income to charities.
That was a several-year process of interviewing 50 people and writing a book about it before I was willing to make a decision how much of my assets I was going to give away. And I ended up giving away, or Ann and I decided that we were going to give away 50%. So we were still keeping 50%.
Their giving priorities have focused on arts for social change, including a theater group they operate, strengthening nonprofit organizations by providing technical assistance, and various initiatives to educate other donors and engage them in giving more to charities. As Christopher's grandfather neared the end of his life, the couple began thinking hard about how to handle their expected second inheritance.
We both decided to talk to his grandfather to say, instead of leaving the second inheritance of $300,000 to us personally, would he put it into a charitable structure that then we could have the joy of giving that money away? And he ended up changing his will the day before he died.
To accommodate that,
which now with the perspective of a 56-year-old, I feel a lot more impressed that he was willing to show that amount of love and trust of this really young grandson to do
I was
that.
I was very touched that my grandfather did that because he had worked really hard as a young man to make money because he grew up poor and thought of money as a way to take care of his family.
Because it wields so much influence over our lives, money is a delicate topic for many families. Being financially tight can certainly cause some kinds of headaches, but acquiring money often presents its own set of problems. A study of lottery winners, for example, showed that for some, instant affluence can overstress families and sometimes lead to a breakup. Anne Ellinger.
I think like lots of partners or spouses of people who have sudden wealth, I really didn't experience that money as mine. You know, I had a big barrier up about it, like that's your money and whatever you want to do with it is okay and don't even talk to me very much about it. I just want to live like a normal life, a normal person. Thank you very much. And it really was a decade-long wooing process that Christopher involved me in making decisions about it and helping me, especially as, again, kind of typical for women to be a little bit more disempowered about money. And, you know, so I look at bank statements and stock and bond portfolio reports and just start falling asleep, gradually being coached to feel able to take in the information and feel enfranchised to make decisions, which was important that we did it together.
So it took a while.
Yep.
But why not do what most people would do, which is regarded as a nest egg down payment for a nice home and for your retirement, as opposed to let's set up some instruments by which we give this away?
For me, it was very casual. It really was as simple as we have more than enough. Why would we want to have even more than that? We have plenty. Let's do something great with it. It was not even a big deal.
Looking back, I feel really glad that we gave away the second inheritance before we got it. Because it's so easy to get used to a certain amount of money as being normal and safe. And so if we just deciding to give that away before it enters into our personal account, then it's already freed up and we feel comfortable with what we have. So we've been encouraging other people to do the same.